Good morning, everyone.
Good morning,
Mike. Today will be the third part in our series on the armor of God. This will be the last general session before we actually get into the pieces. It'll be a good warm-up for what Dale is going to speak on next. Dale's going to go through the book of Ephesians next, so this will be a good warm-up. Today we're going to talk about why a Christian must be armed. What composes the armor that we're talking about, the results of not wearing that armor, and finally a general discussion on what the parts of the armor are. But before we travel new ground, let's review where we've been. Our first session was back on Memorial Day weekend. It was based on Judges 6:12 and 2 Timothy 2, 3, and 4. Judges 6:12 says, "Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.'" And of course, he's talking to Gideon. 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. "Share in suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in the concerns of civilian life. He seeks to please the recruiter." We discussed the Christian life as a life of warfare. We identified our common enemies, the chief of whom is Satan. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. "Be serious. Be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone he can devour. Resist him and be firm in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are being experienced by your fellow believers throughout the world." We talked about the characteristics of a mighty warrior of Jesus Christ. The characteristic we'll be concentrating on in Ephesians is wearing the right armor, having the right gear, using the right weapons. And concluded with the discussion of the absolute need to endure, to persevere, to hupomene. As we identify with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we want to make sure that we are warriors because our Lord is a warrior. Exodus chapter 15, verse 3. "The Lord is a warrior. Yahweh is his name." The second part of our series was on September 3rd this year, and it dealt with the wiles or the tactics of the devil. In this session, we discussed the background for the book of Ephesians. We discussed what I believe is the most important phrase in your life and mine as Christians, the phrase that separates us from the rest of the world, "in Christ." We spent our time in this session discussing Ephesians 6:11 from the point of view of it being a call to arms. Ephesians 6:11, "Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics or wiles of the devil." Finally, we discussed our greatest enemy, Satan. We discussed his various biblical names, his aliases, if you will, his characteristics and his tactics. We concluded this section with a mention of another gift from our God. That is that Satan is not omnipresent. He's not omniscient or all-powerful. He can be defeated, but we can't do it alone. And we can't do it in our own strength. This is where we'll begin today. In this session, we will dissect Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. So let me begin with Ephesians 6:10. If you would, turn in your copy of the Scriptures to Ephesians 6:10. I am reading from the Holman. Ephesians 6:10. "Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength." The first principle we need to learn and grasp very tightly is the fact that we can't win the battle against Satan in our own strength. But wait a minute, Mike. Doesn't the Bible say the Lord helps them who help themselves? Find it for me. Don't look too hard. It's not there. The Word of God, in fact, tells us just the opposite. Many times we are tested to show us, in spite of what we believe, we're not in control. Duh. Life on this earth is a lesson in dependence on the Creator, the Elohim of this universe. 2 Corinthians 12:9. "And he said unto me, 'My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Our battle on this earth is not a conventional war. It will not be won by the side with the most and the biggest. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. For though we live in the body, we do not wage war in an unspiritual way, since the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds. We demolish arguments and every high-minded thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, taking every thought captive to obey Christ. Ephesians 6:12-13. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. This is why you must take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having prepared everything, to take your stand. We are fighting against enemies in the spiritual world. Conventional weapons and tactics will not work. We need special equipment for both offensive battle and to defend ourselves. Here we have another sign of God's grace and mercy. He has provided for our protection. He has provided the armor that will protect us from the evil one. As believers, we do not fight for victory. We fight from victory. The Spirit of God enables us by faith to appropriate the victory that Christ has already won for us. Although we often try to win the victory on our own and think that with our training and with all our toys, we can easily win the battle, that's just not the case. There is too much evidence in the world of God to indicate otherwise. Isaiah 5:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. This is the Lord's declaration. For as heaven is higher than earth, and my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. One of the fascinating principles we discover in the Word of God is that the side with the biggest army, the best vehicles, and the most weapons very seldom wins. In fact, even when God's people depend on their own strength, they are not victorious. In a spiritual war, numbers and arms are of no importance. Those that are against the Lord are simply and easily overwhelmed and destroyed. Let me ask you now to just sit back and listen. What I'm going to try to do is give you some verses from the Word of God and paint a picture to you about strength and dependence. Genesis 3:15. I will put hostility between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel. Right from the very beginning of the Word of God, we learn about the seed, Jesus Christ, and his victory, not ours. We have 1 Samuel 17:46-47. I won't read it to you. Psalm 144:1. May the Lord my rock be praised, who trains my hands for battle and my fingers for warfare. It's the Lord who will train us for the war we are in. Proverbs 21:31. A horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory comes from the Lord. Isaiah 40:29-31. He gives strength to the weary and strengthens the powerless. Youths may faint and grow weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Zechariah 4:6. So he answered me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by strength or by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Matthew 6:32-33, Christ speaking. For the idolaters eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. John 15:5, Christ speaking again. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. Romans 7:18. For I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my flesh. For the desire to do what is good is with me, but there is no ability to do it. 1 Corinthians 1:24-25. Yet to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is God's power and God's wisdom, because God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. 2 Corinthians 3:5. It is not that we are competent in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our competence is from God. 4:13. I am able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. 8:37-39. No, in all these things we are more than victorious through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that not even death or life, angels or rulers, things present or things to come, hostile powers, height or depth or any created thing will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And finally, Revelation 19:15. A sharp sword came out of his mouth so that he might strike the nations with it. He will shepherd them with an iron scepter. He will also trample the winepress of the fierce anger of God the Almighty. Here's the picture that I hope you got as I read all of those verses. A mighty fortress is our God. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper amid the flood of mortals' ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Don't ask who that might be. Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same. He must win the battle. How do we appropriate God's power for the battle that we are in? We've painted a picture through Scripture that has shown us that our own strength won't do it. It's God's power that we need to fuel us. It's God's power that we need to prepare us for battle. How do we appropriate that power? Paul tells us in the next verse, Ephesians 6:11. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil. The King James has stand against the wiles of the devil. The Greek word for whole armor is panophila. It refers to the complete equipment of a fully armed soldier, consisting of both shields and weapons. Panophila. It's used 3 times in the King James Version. Twice in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 13, and in Luke 11:22. It literally means all armor or full armor. It's used in a literal sense in Luke. It's used as a spiritual help supplied by God for overcoming temptation of the devil in Ephesians. The verses that we are studying. Paul tells us by wearing the armor of God that we are appropriating the power of God in our lives on a very personal basis. We have already seen that in order to do this, we have to have a change of heart. We must depend on the Lord's strength and boast in His strength, not our own and our resources. What is this armor that Paul is talking about? If you were to look at the New Testament and look at every time in the New Testament the phrase "put on" appears, you'll find it 7 times. There are 7 times in the New Testament we're told to put on something. Here they are. Matthew 6:17, Christ speaking. "But when you fast, put oil on your head." So the first thing is oil, and wash your face. Romans 13:12. "The night is nearly over and the daylight is near. So let us discard the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light." The armor of light is the second thing. Romans 13:14. "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ." The Lord Jesus Christ is the third thing. Ephesians 4:22-24. "He took off your former ways of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires. You are being renewed in the spirit of your minds. You put on the new self." The new self. "The created one according to God's likeness in righteousness and purity of truth." Colossians 3:9-10. "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self." So there are 2 verses telling us to put on the new self. Ephesians 6:11, our verse today. "Put on the full armor of God." Colossians 3:12-14. "Therefore, God's chosen ones, holy and loved, put on heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, accepting one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Above all, put on love, the perfect bond of unity." In the Romans 13:14 passage, Paul presents Jesus Christ is armor. Christ is our armor. We are fully armored when we are in Christ. Paul would tell us that until the Lord Jesus Christ is put on, we are unarmored, naked as we go into spiritual warfare with the greatest enemy mankind has ever known. In the Ephesians passage 4:24, Paul tells us to put on our new self. The point here is to tell us to be without Christ and His graces is to be without armor. So what's the big deal? Can I win the victory without the full armor of God? To be without the full armor of God is to be naked and unarmed. And what are the consequences? Here's the first one. Without the full armor of God, we are alienated from our Lord. Matthew 7:22-23. Christ speaking again. "On that day, many of you will say, 'Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name?' Then I will announce to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers.'" Matthew 25:41, Christ again. "Then he will say to those on the left, 'Depart from me, you are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" Luke 13:24-27, Christ speaking once again. "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because I tell you, many will try to enter and won't be able. Once the homemaker gets up and shuts the door, then you will stand outside and knock on the door, saying, 'Lord, open up to us.' And he will answer you, 'I don't know you or where you're from.' Then you will say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I tell you, I don't know you or where you're from. Get away from me, all of you workers of unrighteousness.' In the world to come, if you're not a child of the kingdom, you're a child of eternal damnation. In this world, if you're not a child of the kingdom, we have nothing to do with any of God's covenant promises. No strength to call on but our own. We are alone in this world. If we get into trouble, that is sin, and we will. We must plead our own case. There is no mediator in heaven to plead for us. We will be judged on our own works, and none of us wants to be there. If we are without the armor of God in this world, then we are alone to face the onslaught of Satan, and our defeat is certain. Let God leave a people, no matter how militant, and before long they lose their courage and can't fight. If you were a student of history and you looked at all the great empires in the history of this world, most of them fell when they were the strongest militarily. Numbers 14:9. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. How much more will a man or a woman on this earth without the armor of God end up as bread on Satan's table? Secondly, without the full armor of God, we become ignorant. Notice I didn't use the S word. What would you call a person who doesn't know that his house is surrounded by an army, fully armed, ready to shoot the first thing that comes out of the house, and he walks out the door just like it's a normal day? What would you call a Christian who goes about his or her daily business as if they were not in the middle of a war? To make matters even worse, those that are not in the full armor of God, those that are without Christ, have to fight in the dark. How good is your night vision? How good do you do in the dark? Ephesians 5:8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. We who are Christian have the Son, S-O-N, to give us light and understanding, but those without Christ who have not put on the full armor of God are defenseless against Satan. Spiritual darkness can never be expelled except by union with Christ. Luke 4:18, Christ speaking, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty they that are bruised. Thirdly, without the full armor of God, we become impotent. Romans 5:6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. What can a soul without the armor of God do against Satan? Here's a good answer. Less than you and I could do against an entire armed army. It won't be pretty, and it won't last long. Luke 11:21-22. Christ speaking, for a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. Isn't that also the history of this world? He with the strongest eventually wins, until somebody stronger comes along. The Spirit fills the heart with love, joy, holy desires. Satan fills the sinner's heart with pride, lust, and lying. Like a drunkard filled with wine, the sinner filled with Satan is not his own man, but an impotent slave. Finally, without the full armor of God, we become friends of sin and Satan. Without the full armor of God, we revert back to our natural tendencies. Psalm 51:5. Indeed, I was guilty when I was born. I was sinful when my mother conceived me. Romans 7:18-21. For I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my flesh. For the desire to do what is good is with me, but there is no ability to do it. For I do not do the good that I want to do, but I practice the evil that I do not want to do. Now, if I do what I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but it is sin that lives in me. So I discover this principle. When I want to do what is good, evil is with me. Without the full armor of God, we remain in our sin. And all Satan has to do is keep us there. That's not a difficult task, is it? Because our natural being is fulfilled with our lusts and our desires and our appetites for this world. If, however, we have the full armor of God and are wearing it, when Satan attacks, he attacks the saints whose freedom was won on the cross. Sooner or later, Satan will run away and retreat because nothing but nothing can pluck us out of the hand of our Savior. John 10:28-29. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, ever. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. The saint whose faith has been insulated from error by the truth of the gospel will be able to withstand all of Satan's icy blasts. Let's talk a little bit about the parts of the armor and its proper use. When properly worn, the Christian armor is complete. What do we mean by that? First of all, it covers the saint's whole body and soul. 1 Kings 22:34 is the story about Ahab. But a man drew his bow without taking special aim and struck the king of Israel through the joints of his armor. So he said to his charioteer, "Turn around and take me out of the battle, for I am badly wounded." Ahab died as a result of a mishap, a chance arrow that happened to chance hit a joint in his armor. Chance? I think not. The Lord is in control. Satan is a master of finding the weaknesses in our armor. If all a man is armed except his eyes, Satan can shoot fireballs of lust in that opening, and soon the whole house will be set on fire. Eve only looked at the tree, and the poison dart was enough to bring down Adam and Eve, and all of us with them. If all of the outward senses are well guarded, but the heart is not kept with diligence, a man's own thoughts will soon betray him into the hands of Satan. 2 Corinthians 6:1-10. We then, our workers together with him, beseech you also that ye may receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in turmoils, in labors, in watching, in fastings. This life is not a luxury. It is a war. by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and the left. The full armor of God has no joints. It has no weaknesses. Secondly, each piece of armor has its own unique function. God designed each piece with a specific purpose in mind, and we must wear each piece as the Lord dictates. We wouldn't expect a sandal to protect our hearts. We wouldn't put a belt on our heads as a helmet. Putting on the armor is not enough. We must grow in grace. We must have the faith that the armor will protect us. We must be knowledgeable in the use of each piece. We must have temperance, patience to wait on the Lord and not use the armor until the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings tells us to attack. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 7. His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. By these He has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them we may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world because of evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with goodness, goodness with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with endurance, endurance with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. And each piece of armor is complete and perfect in itself. God not only made the whole armor perfect and complete, He provides each piece to us, and it is perfect and complete. It is our duty, however, to keep it ready for use, to keep it in good shape, to keep it well polished. Matthew 5:48. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Let me close with a brief discussion on the proper use of the armor. Properly using the armor involves two aspects. It must be put on, and it must be worn continually. God has designed a perfect set of armor for each and every one of His saints. Our obligation is to put it on. Having the armor of God and keeping it in the closet does us no good. It is like saying, I have faith, but showing no evidence. It is like saying, I believe, but not having a change of heart. It is like saying, I trust and obey, but looking for my own way, a backup plan to the Lord's. It is one thing to have the armor in the house, and quite another to have it buckled on. One leads to our defeat, the other leads to the defeat of Satan. Lastly, the full armor of God must be worn at all times. We must walk, work, and sleep in it, or you're not a true soldier of Christ. In the vernacular, we need to sleep with our boots on. Acts 24:16. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Luke 12:35. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. Our duty as mighty warriors of God is a 24-hour-a-day duty. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. There are no vacations for a warrior of God. This is a lifetime duty. We can't retire from being a warrior in Christ's army. Ephesians 6:16-17. In every situation, take up the shield of faith, And with it, you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take up the salvation, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word, in every situation. In conclusion, today we've discussed going into battle in the power of God. We've discussed going into battle in Christ. The battle is already won. Christ is the victor. We too have the victory as long as we don't go into battle thinking our abilities, our weapons, and our strategy will defeat the enemy. We've discussed how to appropriate the Lord's power in our daily battle by putting on and keeping on the full armor of God. We have discussed the consequences of going into battle not wearing the full armor of God. And finally, we discussed in general terms the parts of the armor and its proper use. My brothers and sisters, we need to be constantly on the alert, constantly ready for battle, fully outfitted and armed because Satan's strategy demands it. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was the most cunning. Your enemy is most cunning. Of all the wild animals that the Lord God has made, he said to the woman, "Did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden?" Job 1:7. The Lord asked Satan, "Where do you come from?" "From roaming through the earth," Satan answered him, "and walking around on it." In the book of Job, the Lord asked Satan twice where he comes from. And both times he says, "From walking on the earth." He's looking for his next victim. And Christians are a prize to behold. Luke 4:13. After the devil has finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time. My brothers and sisters, once the battle is over, don't take the armor off. There's another one around the corner. And finally, 1 Peter 5:8-9. Be serious. Be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone he can devour. Resist him and be firm in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are being experienced by your fellow believers throughout the world. Join me in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for your word and your guidance in it. Lord, we thank you for your many gifts. The gift of life. Most importantly, the gift of your Son and his sacrifice for us. Today, Lord, we thank you that you've prepared for each and every one of us our individual armor, the full armor of God. Lord, we ask that as we leave, that if we're not enlisted in your army, that we would do so today. Lord, we ask for the strength to stay vigilant, to stay alert. Lord, most importantly, we ask in our walk with you to be consistent, that we are in Christ on a daily basis. So, Lord, as we go now, we ask that you be with us, that you'd strengthen us each and every moment of our lives, that when the attack comes, we will be ready, that we will stand beside you, that we will fight in your strength, under your direction, and win the victory that your Son, Jesus Christ, has already won for us. In Christ's name, amen.